So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. The use of police body cameras is one of the most emotional issues in law enforcement, criminal justice, and race. A special committee in the Capitol has spent months studying the issue, and they have a recommendation for a new Wisconsin law. So I want to thank, to my left, the chairman of that special counsel committee, Senator Patrick Teston, represents the 24th District from Stevens Point. He's a Republican. The vice chair of that committee, Representative Chris Taylor of Madison. She's a Democrat who represents the 76th Assembly District. And Monroe County District Attorney Kevin Croninger. Thank you very much for all coming in.
Great to be back.
Now, you had, your committee was, what, like 15 members?
Yeah.
And you had both legislators and experts, and you were all three members. So let's start. What did you learn about the use of police body cameras? And then we'll talk about how widespread they are now and your recommendations.
Senator. Well, I think it might be more important, Steve, to talk about why we Please. Formed the study committee in the first place.
Thank
so
you.
Last session, I had a bill that I had authored with now retired State Representative Jesse Kramer that had passed the Assembly, and then when it got to the Senate, there were some issues that were brought up and it got bogged down. And Representative Taylor also had a bill that was similar, but veered off in some different directions, and because the legislation was so important for a number of different stakeholders, Legislative Council Study Committee was formed to get all the stakeholders at one table to discuss the issue and finally come to a final product that we have before us now that should be introduced to the legislature as a piece of legislation.
Okay, and Chris, your impression on our what you learned, how the proceedings went, and then we'll talk to the prosecutor.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
I love the process because everyone comes around a table. Senator Teston was great in really hearing everybody. And I thought you really got different perspectives. But people came with such good intentions because we all want to do something on this issue. We know law enforcement wants some guidance. They have a lot of complicating issues when they're dealing with video, what to release, how long to keep it. And the public also wants accountability and they want transparency. So you have these really, really important interests. But I thought the process of doing these committees is really, really a wonderful process because you do get everybody at the table and everyone is there to really get a good product. And I think we did get a really good product.
Police body cameras and what do they mean and their use, their value to prosecutors such as yourself, sir?
Well, I think they're a really important tool, obviously. They're not an end-all, be-all. That's something that I always keep in mind when I talk to the members of the public. An officer can be wearing a body camera and not necessarily capture everything that's going on. But obviously, it's an important tool because, for the most part, in most situations for law enforcement, they're able to indicate or prove that something that someone is alleging took place did not happen. And I think for accountability, it's important too. Members of the public deserve to know what goes on in many of these interactions. And if there's a claim of police acting improperly, we want to be able to have something to determine did that happen or not. So it's not always going to be the case that we can see, yes, that this did or did not happen. But for the most part, you can, and so that makes it a really important thing that we have them.
Biggest thing you learned going through the committee process and the several meetings, Kevin?
I think just the variety of different opinions there on how things should be handled. We had some education about what other states are doing, about the different options there are for body cameras that even as someone who deals with law enforcement on a daily basis, I wasn't aware of. And so it's a really big and complex issue. And I think what we tried to do is have some minimal standards that must be met for the public to have confidence in what's going on. Mm-hmm. And from there, law enforcement agencies can build on that and have more local accountability if they feel it's appropriate.
Representative Taylor, you had introduced a bill on the committee, but the biggest thing you learned as a part of this Leg Council process?
Well, look, this is what I learned. I think we need to remember this, is we really can solve almost any problem. if we listen to each other. So I learned that in the process, and that was reinforced in the process, which I think should give people a lot of hope that we could reach some consensus on a really complicated issue. The thing that, in terms of body cams in particular, that I learned is that I think there's a real desire by law enforcement to use these cameras. Sometimes there's impediments. There's an expense impediment. Although a lot of these producers of body cams will come in and actually outfit law enforcement, you know, and some of them will do it for free for
they
a
will.
Year. Oh, yeah, there are some companies that do that. But look, the technology is really, can be a real asset, you know, and it can be something that really satisfies the need of law enforcement to capture something accurately so the public has confidence in what's going on. But, you know, it's also, I think, we live in a different age right now where we do have this technology. And so I think a lot of law enforcement wants to use the technology in a responsible way. And the public also has a real interest. So I do think we're moving in the direction of body cams becoming something like a dash cam. I think that's the future.
Excuse me. And then, Senator, the biggest thing you learned in the result of these meetings?
I think the biggest takeaway that I had was just the feedback that we received from the law enforcement community. We heard from a number of folks who have said, look, our county boards or our city government has allocated money for body cameras, but we want guidance from the state. So I think it's important for the state to provide some of these set standards because law enforcement is asking for them. I think we can all agree around this table and as we did at the Ledge Council Study Committee that these are a useful tool for the public as well as law enforcement. So we just want to provide some of that clarity and guidance for our law enforcement agencies.
How widespread is the use of police body cameras now in Wisconsin? And is it largely in Wisconsin cities and not so much in rural areas, or is that just wrong?
I think it varies, and you know, obviously my expertise is in what goes on in Monroe County. All of our agencies that are of some size, so we have two cities and then the county, they all have body cameras that they deploy. The smaller agencies, when you only have a couple officers in an agency, the likelihood of that agency being able to afford that without some grant or some program through some of these companies is it's very unlikely. So I think it varies widely, although I do believe all the bigger cities in the state are using body cameras.
So the two cities in your community in Monroe County that have body cameras, they have adopted specific rules. Once any officer, she or he, is on duty, you have to turn it on 24/7 when you're on duty or throughout their entire shift or just when they respond to a call?
It varies, and each agency, and that's part of what I think Senator Teston was talking about,
right.
Is each agency can have a different policy. So, you know, in Monroe County, we could have officers from the city of Sparta and Monroe County responding to a call together, and they could have different policies potentially on when their cameras are supposed to be on and those kinds of things. So I think that's part of the reason why we want to have some at least a minimal standard of what should be met and give some guidance to law enforcement on what they should do. I don't have intimate familiarity with all of the policies of those agencies, but they do have times when they're supposed to be on and times when they can be turned off. You know, if you're having a private conversation or about something sensitive with a victim, they can turn that off so that's not on the body camera and available for someone to be able to see that. So it varies widely, though.
Now let's talk about the bill that the committee is recommending. If you could both summarize it, because you'll be taking the lead in your respective houses. So let's summarize what you're actually putting forth to be sponsored.
Sure. Well, the first really important issue that we addressed is how long do you keep the video? That was a big issue for law enforcement. And so we came up with a standard of 120 days that all video has to be kept. And that's very consistent with the statute of limitations for any kind of state claim that is being brought, has to be brought within 120 days. So it's very consistent with, you know, other evidentiary issues that are kept for 120 days. And then we also came up with a list of critical incidents, like when there's use of force or where there's a firearm, that really has to be maintained for the duration of an investigation, a case, or complaint.
Which could exceed the 120 days.
Which could exceed, and oftentimes does exceed 120 days. And so that would be for the resolution of that particular case, complaint, or investigation. And those are the critical incidents, you know, that we hear about nationally that there's a real need for the public to have that accountability to make sure that tape is being maintained for the duration of those actions. And then I would say the second part that is a really hard part, and it's tricky, is open records. Is what do we do? How do we deal with open records? Because, you know, a video, when you're depicting a crime scene or maybe a victim, that is so personal. A victim of a sensitive crime. Yes.
You have the expertise, I don't. Excuse me.
No, but you understand, you know, what we're talking about. You have a sensitive crime. You might have a rape victim. You might have someone who's having, you know, the worst night of their life. And you want to protect them. And so that was a balance that I think we got to with this presumption that video is subject to open records, but there are privacy protections that we're going to extend to children, to victims of sensitive crime, and any person who has a, you know, reasonable privacy interest, like if it's in their home, and you don't necessarily want the world to know what's going on in your home. Right. So it's a balance, and I think we really got to that balance.
And also, Steve, we also lay out within the legislation that if a department chooses to employ the use of body cameras for their law enforcement officials, they have to have a written policy, they have to update that policy periodically as technology changes, and they have to train their officers on how to best use the equipment. So we want to make sure that from the state level, we're setting some basic guidelines for our departments to follow. Now, what we heard from our sheriffs and our police chiefs that came down and testified is that many of these agencies already do that, but we just want to codify that into statute so there's some clarity and certainty for other agencies that don't employ body cameras right now, that that's going to be a set standard for them.
Representative Taylor talked about body camera interviewing a victim of an assault or domestic abuse. Now, if you were prosecuting those cases, would that be something that you would have to show the lawyer for the accused, the defendant, Kevin?
Certainly.
That's already going on, right?
It is. And to be clear, I mean, I would never recommend that a full interview of a victim take place on a body camera. I mean, we'd like to get them to a more comfortable and safe place.
So it's just a part of the body of evidence, excuse me.
Yeah. Yep. But sometimes it's a necessity, or sometimes a victim is just has just gone through the assault and they're, you know, they're just making statements because they need to, and they need to talk to somebody and tell someone. And
so
sometimes the reality of the situation is it's going to happen on a body camera. And that would have to be disclosed in discovery, which, you know, there's limitations on how that can be sent out further by defense attorneys and issues they would have to deal with if they did that, disclose it in a way they shouldn't. The bigger concern is, can any, you know, member of the public then get a copy of that in a moment that's very embarrassing and private for a victim? We don't want that to just be, for instance, on the evening news that night. That would be a terrible outcome, I think.
Well, how do you respond to those open record queries from news media that wants body camera of an interview with a victim? How does your agency respond now?
I think it depends on the situation. Every open records request is going to be pretty specific to that situation. I think there can be a balance there of what's important. I think victim privacy and victims not being put in a situation where embarrassing images or videos are being made public is an important consideration. So there's a balancing test, and we try to weigh that in each and every situation where there's a records request made.
Do you have a right to deny that open records query from a news media organization because of potential violation of the victim's privacy?
I think you can deploy a balancing test.
Would that have to go before a judge?
So if I deny a request from my office, a requesting agency can file a legal action against myself and anyone else in my office who's denied the request, and then that would go before a judge. Yeah. And essentially what happens in that action is a judge can review my decision, and there's a couple different things he can do. He can say, give over the entirety of the record. He can say, give over part of the record. He could also say, let me look at the record and make a decision. So there's a lot of different options that a judge could do in that situation, and we have some of those cases that do happen where somebody files that action and the judge then makes a decision.
Any PS on that, Chris?
Well, I just want to make clear. In this bill, there is a balancing test when you have a victim of sensitive crime, a child, mm-hmm. or someone who has a privacy interest in the place, which is usually their home. And, you know, the test that we do, which is much, it's taken from what the current practice is what is the public interest greater than the privacy interest?
Which outweighs. Right?
Which outweighs. Now, if the public interest is greater in our bill, you still have to redact the identity of the victim, of the child. So they're still going to be protected, and we wanted to make sure that we were providing that protection. And that, I believe, still, you know, we tried to really take what is happening, what is the practice now, let's codify it, because by, you know, a lot of people believe that this current balancing test does work. And we need to weigh those interests, but we're really sensitive to protecting victims, too, and protecting kids.
Go ahead.
And I think that was the biggest hurdle that we had to cross between the bills that we had introduced last session to where we are today. So, I mean, we both made major concessions on this front, and I think we came up with a really great compromise that does just that. It balances the privacy of those victims, while at the same time we ensure that those open records, if, like you mentioned, if those outweigh the privacy interests, that they can still be released to the public. But more importantly, the advances in technology, the ability to pixelate, to redact, has come so far that I think it's going to put us in a much better place going forward when these sensitive cases come up.
Now, your bill, your recommended bill, says if an agency uses body cameras, you're not recommending that all law enforcement agencies across Wisconsin use body cameras, are you? Is there
no.
any statement of findings?
Not mandating
no.
that. No.
It's just if they choose to use it, here's the framework that they
right.
have to operate within.
Right.
But after hearing the testimony, do you believe that Wisconsin should evolve, try to get to a place where all law enforcement agencies use body cameras, except maybe in the case where there's two officers, as you alluded to earlier? Would it be good public policy 5-10 years from now?
You know, I represent a community that voted against using body cams. I mean,
and
now I'm in Madison.
And I interviewed your Madison police chief, and
right.
he says, I'm not there yet in terms of mandating who's
right.
going to pay for them. Excuse me.
Right. But we are doing a pilot here.
Yes.
You know, so we're trying to figure out. I don't really think, I don't think we want to mandate that law enforcement use body cams. I think that we were in agreement on that. There might be a lot of reasons that they don't use them. Like here in Madison, it was really a local decision. And I do think that local control is really, really important. But what we did want to make sure is that these competing interests, the public has a right to accountability, to transparency. And that is really sacrosanct in our state. It's in our statutes. But there's also all these other competing interests as well that you have to balance and you have to weigh. And so we were really trying to get to a place where people, where law enforcement was comfortable, that had some clarity, and the public had some clarity too. And I think we got there. We didn't get everything. You know, there were things I wanted I didn't get. There were things Senator Tessin wanted in this bill he didn't get. But I think we really did get to a place where I'm hopeful that law enforcement is very comfortable now in having the guidance that they needed to embrace this new technology in a way that's really responsible, really accountable, and really transparent.
And Madison just went through this with the Tony Robinson shooting on William Street. And I don't know about you three, but I can no longer watch the shooting of the Chicago police officer, the then individual, 16 times. You're dealing with one of the most emotional issues. So when you release police body camera footage, are you aware that it could, in 6-10 hours, trigger a press conference by somebody who feels they were aggrieved by that? It's a very emotional issue, isn't it?
It is. I think it always is. There's times we release video that it isn't an emotional issue. I mean, the vast majority of videos are capturing what I would call relatively mundane activities of law enforcement officers. And in 99.999% of the time, they're acting very appropriately, and there's nothing that's going to create any sort of emotional issue, I think, for most people. But there are those cases.
Sensational.
Where there are sensational things, or you have an officer-involved shooting, those kind of things. Yeah, so you're aware of that. I mean, I don't think the fact that it's going to cause some sort of public outcry is a reason to deny a public records request, but it's something that I'm aware of. But I think what's important is that balance of finding, okay, is this interest in public information more important than some privacy interest or some other, you know, sanctity of the investigation, those kind of things, and making that balance.
Does excuse me if you've covered this. Does your proposed bill say a window of time that an agency must release the body cameras? You say it must be kept for 120 days. Right. Is it up to the discretion of the law enforcement agency?
Except when there is an officer-involved shooting, because we have a separate law for that.
Right.
And so
the state
this
DOJ
does not.
Investigates that.
That's Usually. I mean, you have to bring in an outside investigator.
Thank you.
Two outside investigators. That was a bill that I worked on, actually. But this, so this bill is very careful not to usurp what was done there. It doesn't, under current law, the videos are, you know, they're not released until that investigation is done and there's no charging. And then all the evidence is released, and that's pursuant to another law. We don't touch that. That's how that stays in place, and there's a specific clause in this legislation saying we're not usurping that in any way.
One thing that strikes me is, as you alluded to earlier, Kevin, body cameras are only one sight line, one view of that in a 360 incident. A specific body camera is only a part of, only captures a part of that. So as a prosecutor, you have to go look for the other 350 degrees of evidence, correct?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of cases, it's, you know, we have a lot of technology these days, DNA, other things, body cameras, but a lot of prosecution is still not that much different than what they were doing 50 years ago. I mean, you still have a lot of eyewitness testimony, a lot of other evidence that would have been available to somebody in my position in the 1960s. So, yeah, it's a component, and I think anytime as a prosecutor I can have tools to ensure that the person we're prosecuting is the person who committed the crime, mm-hmm. and that we're proving that to the level we need to prove it under the Constitution, that's a tool I want to have available to me. But as I said, it's not an end-all, be-all. It doesn't fully answer the question for us. And who knows, maybe someday in the future we will have cameras that can do a 360-degree view. I don't think that technology is there right now. And if it is, it's certainly not at an affordable level.
Last session, we approved $100 million to make our schools safer. Here's my question. Should state the Department of Justice offer grants to law enforcement agencies to help pay for these body cameras? Because Chief Koval told me they run pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. But that's not part of, was that part of the scope of the of your Legislative Council Study Committee? But what do you think?
I mean, there have been discussions about that, and I think a lot of it is going to be kind of a wait and see what gets proposed within, on the 28th, with the governor's proposed budget. We didn't address that issue. We just wanted to address the regulatory framework for the use of body cameras. So I'm willing to have that discussion if there's an appetite and a need for law enforcement agencies that need financial assistance, mm-hmm. that want to incorporate this technology. But I think that's a discussion that we're going to have at a later date.
Okay, we've discussed it, the heart of what the bill that you're recommending is the 100 must be kept for 120 days with some exceptions, correct?
Yeah.
Is there any other provision that we need to get to here?
Well, the open records piece is huge. That
yes.
was probably the biggest piece that
Thank
we heard
you.
About is really figuring out when is it released, when is it not released. And we kept the presumption under law. Now, around our table, our study committee table, was the press. You know, we had people who were very, very committed to the First Amendment, mm-hmm. and we really came to the conclusion that the presumption that it should be released does underscore the bill. So there is, you know, we preserve the whole tradition in Wisconsin that's in our statute, that it will be released, with these exceptions that are very sensitive for victims, for children, for people who you're depicting their homes, and they're not accused of a crime. You know, you go into people's homes with these cameras. I mean, it can be very, very intimate. And so we preserve that. And then the last piece is making sure that everybody who's using these cameras have a policy and are trained. What we don't address is when is the camera on and when is it off. That's something we didn't quite get to. But let me say, this is one thing I learned. The technology of these cameras is amazing. They can now be automatically triggered when a squad door is open, or when a hand is on a weapon, they can be triggered. And so I think technology is going to take care of some of that in terms of, you know, looking at when are these devices on and when are they off.
The racial dimension to this issue, do communities of color, do their leaders want police to use body cameras generally, or are they split all over?
Well, you know, my community didn't. I mean, we really heard concerns when the city council looked at this, and communities of color were very concerned that these cameras were going to be used in a way that hurt their communities and that violated their rights. And so that was a discussion. It's still a discussion ongoing in my community. But I really do believe, you know, by not saying communities have to use these cameras and by really balancing the need for accountability, transparency, I think we really came to a bill that I am very confident every community is going to feel good about, because I think we did balance a lot of those interests. But we're not saying, Madison, you have to use body cams. You know, I think that really is a local decision that is going to have to be made.
You were chairman. Yep. Who's going to oppose this bill?
Well, hopefully no one.
No one?
The Professional Police Association on board?
They were on board.
Sheriffs and deputies?
That's what was great about this committee, Steve, is that we had law enforcement, we had the broadcasters, we had open records advocates, we had district attorneys, public defenders. So a lot of the concerns that were hashed out last session through the legislation that I had introduced, I think we had a really good discussion over the four times that we met, and through the give and take, and just learn where each side was coming from on this. I think we're at a point now that when this is ready to be introduced to the whole legislature, that we are going to have a broad coalition of support from the entire spectrum that body cameras impact.
So broad a coalition that Governor Evers could include this as part of his February 28th budget presentation? Has there been any...
Haven't asked.
But are you asking the governor now to include it as part of his February 28th budget?
Well, if it's included in the budget, great. But my hope is, if it's not, we'll still be able to do this as standalone legislation, because I don't believe there's going to be a fiscal attached to this. It's going to be strict policy. So I'm confident that this legislation can stand on its own legs and that we can get support in both houses, and hopefully we'll get it signed into law by Governor Evers.
Kevin, as a journalist, I have this question. What's the difference between police body camera and the mugshot that law enforcement agencies routinely release? That's a naive question, I apologize, but what's the difference?
So a mugshot's going to be taken when somebody goes to the jail.
Yes.
An officer's body camera is going to record everything they do out in the field. So an officer could perform a traffic stop just outside of the building we're in now,
right,
have contact with a citizen, may not even arrest them, may just simply say, you know, you're driving a little fast, please slow down. That would likely be on their body camera. But if they arrested them, they would take them to the jail, and at the jail, a different officer or a jail officer would likely take them and take a mugshot of them that is kept for other purposes, identification purposes in the jail and other types of purposes.
So the heart of your recommendation, the heart of your bill, is that an agency that uses body cameras must come up with rules governing them, right? Yeah. And those rules could say, if you're stopping someone for a bad headlight, you don't have to turn it on then, but there are other times, and when you respond to a domestic incident or an assault or something like that, or a vicious crime?
At least from what we heard, I think from the law enforcement officials that we heard, most times when there's an interaction with the public, like during a traffic stop or a Terry stop, that
cameras are typically
going to be on.
And I think unless it's something, you know, if they're getting a cat out of a tree or you know, I mean, maybe that's a sort of a... classic example that isn't going on anymore. But, you know, something like that. Sometimes they just go out and interact with kids and give them baseball cards or whatever they're doing, just doing sort of community policing. It wouldn't necessarily need to be on then for most agencies. But if you're engaging in something that may lead to potential enforcement, most agencies that I'm aware of are requiring that body camera be on. Because the guy with the headlight out, you could go up there and he could take off, and all of a sudden you're in a high-speed pursuit. So,
that's true.
It's important, I think, that the policies include something like that, but I do believe it should be left up to those agencies.
All the DAs endorse this bill that's coming forth?
I don't know about that. I wouldn't go that far. I think anytime you get 71 people in a room and ask them to agree to something, that's difficult to do. So I would think that in my conversations with many of the DAs, I know that many would be in support, but there's a lot of people with a lot of good ideas who may disagree with me on that. So.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Let's talk about the process. What happens next to the bill that you're bringing forth as a Ledge Council study committee? What's next step, Senator?
So the Ledge Council committee approved this, I believe, it was unanimously.
Unanimously.
So now it will be introduced
Unanimous. Robin Voss and Chris Christie.
I know.
Robin Voss and Christie.
Yes.
Okay. See, and this is what's great.
News made here. Great.
This is what's great about this issue. So, I mean, we have two individuals, right, who represent two parties who have two very different political ideologies. We were able to come together and find a compromise. And so they have the Ledge Council Committee unanimously approve this. I think that sends a pretty strong message that when this bill gets introduced to the legislature within, I think, the next month or so, that we're going to have a lot of support for this as it goes through the regular process.
So we're going to be talking about this in 2 years as a Wisconsin law, right?
I hope so.
That's our hope.
That's our intent.
And the difference it'll make? Kevin?
I think it's a step forward. I think as technology evolves, there's probably going to have to be further discussions. But it's a step forward, and I think any time we have new technology that law enforcement's using, we need to take those steps so there's both reliability in the policing methods and also accountability for what takes place in those interactions.
The difference it'll make, Representative?
Oh, it's going to provide consistency and, I think, assurances. It's not going to solve every problem, but it is a step forward in the right direction, and I'm sure this is going to be an ongoing discussion. But it does provide some real consistency and assurances that I think both law enforcement and the public really, really wanted to see.
Final word, difference it'll make?
I think this is going to provide another layer of accountability with the law enforcement toolbox, with their interactions with the public. So I think it's going to provide more assurances, not just for law enforcement, but for the general public at large.
Very important discussion, laying the groundwork for the coming debate in the legislature. I want to thank Senator Pat Teston, Representative Chris Taylor, Kevin Croninger, the District Attorney of Monroe County. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. All.